We're here in the Congressional Corner with David Hawkins, former senior editor of CQ and Roll Call, who covered Congress from 1995 through 2018 for Congressional Quarterly. Okay, Nancy Pelosi, is she going to be Speaker?
I think probably yes. I think that my own view is that, you know, one of the stories that Nancy Pelosi always tells on herself, one of the anecdotes or one of the ways she describes herself, you know, she's the daughter of a former mayor of Baltimore. She's the sister of a former mayor of Baltimore. What did you learn from living in such a political household? And she said, the first thing she always says is, I learned how to count. And she learned how to count votes. And she has done a remarkable job of that over the year. 2 years ago, when she was faced with a challenge, she told reporters precisely how many votes she was going to get. And 2 days later, in a secret ballot, she got exactly the number of votes she was going to get. All that by way of saying, I don't think Nancy Pelosi would be running for this job, would be running to be Speaker again, if she thought that she was going to be embarrassed by defeat. I think she has a high degree of confidence that she's going to win, and I think that generally when she has a high degree of confidence in winning, she wins. I can think of really no exception. So that having been said, right, there are a dozen, maybe 15, with all, when there are a few close races in California, there could be 15 or a couple more new Democratic members who say, who campaigned on saying they would not vote for Pelosi for Speaker. There's two ways they can exercise that and be true to that promise and still allow her to become Speaker. One is the Democrats all meet behind closed doors to pick their nominee for Speaker. All that requires is a majority vote among the Democrats, so those people could vote against her in the caucus, and she could still be the nominee. Then it gets to the House floor on opening day. The rules, in theory, are, well, the rules are, everybody who casts a vote, the Speaker has to win a majority of all the votes that are cast.
218 of them.
Not quite. It's all the people who are voting, who vote for a person. So if these 15 people sit on their hands and just vote present or refuse to answer the roll, effectively they haven't voted for her, but they haven't voted against her either, and she could, in theory, win with fewer than 218, assuming that a bunch of those people stay silent.
But, David, doesn't the opposition also put up a candidate?
The opposition does put up a candidate, but so if you let's say that in the end she's going to have 230-ish votes, 230 Democrats. So if 10 of those Democrats sit on their hands, she still gets 220 votes. Kevin McCarthy, the Democratic nominee, gets 190 whatever votes. She still wins.
Interesting, as always. Okay, so we here in our area are delighted, at least I am, by the prospect of Richard Neal, otherwise known as Richie to all of us, in the First District of Massachusetts, will be the Ways and Means Chairman, and his next-door neighbor in Massachusetts, in the Second District, Mr. McGovern, will be the Chairman of the Rules Committee. Is there any way that couldn't happen?
Almost no way it couldn't, and you're only starting to touch on all the excitement right across the border, right? You got Nita Lowey in Westchester County chairing the Appropriations Committee. So all this by way of saying, these are really easy to predict for two reasons. One is the Democrats have a fealty to the seniority system that has never really wavered. It only wavers when somebody is manifestly unqualified. You know, they're too old and infirm, or they're under an indictment. And of course, neither of those things impacts Mr. Neal or Mr. McGovern or Mrs. Lowey, all of whom are, you know, Mrs. Lowey is a little bit older than the other two, but she is I've talked to her the other day, she's in fine form. All these guys will get their jobs, and Jerry Nadler, from the Upper West Side of Manhattan, will be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, no questions asked. So it's going to be a good run for people in your audience area.
I'm so old, I know all of those guys. That's scary. So let's talk a little bit then about what happened in the 19th district where John Faso fell to Antonio Delgado. This was one that was watched across the country. What do you got? Bring it.
You know, bring it. Gosh, what happened? Gosh, I'm kind of the granular what happened. I guess I'm going to guess a little bit that Mr. Faso overplayed his hand on the talking about Mr. Delgado as the rapping congressman, and kind of hit that a little too hard, and it backfired on him a touch. But I'd love to hear your opinion about that.
Well, I'm always ready to give my opinion about anything. But the truth is, I think what happened is you had energy on the other side. So I live in Western Massachusetts. You have no idea how many people crossed that border to campaign in the, in the 19th for the Democrat. And that also goes within Albany, where people in Congressman Tonko's district went over there, who was a safe bet, went over there to do Delgado too, because a lot of us thought that might be the one vote that carried the House for the Democrats.
Right, right. There was a lot of talk. It seems quaint now, more than a week after the election, that a lot of people thought it was going to be one vote here, one vote there. Maybe they'd get to 219, maybe 220, and every vote was counting. And so you're right. I mean, across the country, the story was similar. I have lots of friends who, friends here in the district, where we don't get a fully voting member of the House. A lot of my Democratic friends and my Republican friends scattered all over the country to show energy, but more Democrats than Republicans. It was the Democrats who had the energy this year. The Republicans were playing sort of a rear guard game of attrition, firewall, last stand thing, whereas the Democrats were really energized.
Let me talk to you about Mitch McConnell. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like him. So, he stands up there. And he stops things like votes as to whether the Mueller investigation should be protected. And he just does it. He doesn't seem to have any, emotion. And so what is it about our institution which creates a leader like that who really isn't responsive to the national mood, both in the Democrats and the Republican Party?
Well, McConnell is, he has succeeded within his committee. He's succeeded like nobody else before. He's now surpassed Bob Dole as the longest serving Republican Senate leader ever. He gives his guys what they want. He holds them together. You might hate it and you might think that it's horrific, but the gamble, he knows when to gamble. He's a little bit like he and Pelosi, to circle back to Nancy Pelosi. I think they have some similar qualities. They are clear-eyed vote counters. They know what they can get away with, they know what it'll take to win, and they're willing to do it. I mean, all Democrats everywhere will never forgive Mitch McConnell for what he did after Antonin Scalia died, but the degree to which he acted to say that he was going to hold that seat open within an hour of Scalia's death, and apparently consulted with nobody about it. This was his own decision. He said, this is what we're going to do, and it was a huge gamble. It was probably the gamble of his career, and it paid off.
So you're saying he didn't allow Obama his nominee?
In other words, right. After Scalia died, an hour later, he said, we are not going to allow, we're going to hold this seat open through the 2016 election and let the next president pick the next justice, i.e. Obama cannot, even though Obama's, was only 75% of the way through the term to which he'd been elected, he was out of luck.
Disgusting. Okay, we've been talking to our friend and mentor when it comes to understanding these things, even though he's much younger than I am, David Hawkins, who used to be the senior editor at CQ and Roll Call and who has a major new production coming up, but we can't talk about it yet. So, David Hawkins, will we come back the next time? I got lots of questions to ask.
Looking forward to it.